You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
This morning, I'm going to be ministering on the topic of being highly motivated. How many know that highly motivated people are usually the ones that get promoted? Highly motivated people are the ones that are the most satisfied. Highly motivated people are the ones that will succeed where others fail. And when you come to Christ, once you begin to learn the truth in the Word, it should motivate you to press in more, motivate you more to train yourself in righteousness, because there are many, many perks and blessings that come to the person who is highly motivated. Amen? And so I want to start, if you would, if you could look it up at the screen. This is in Psalms 103. One of my favorite psalms. It says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord." Now watch this. I want you to see this. "Bless the Lord, and forget not all of his benefits." Say "all of his benefits." "Who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Can you say amen, everybody? Praise God. This is one of my favorite psalms because it gives you all the ingredients you need to be highly motivated in your life. See, motivation comes from the reason why you do something. And if the perks are big enough, if the blessings are big enough, it motivates people in a great way to follow after God in their life. And I want to say this: in the church, we don't always teach all the benefits of the gospel. We'd rather say, well, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes God says no. Because as soon as you say it's God's will and they don't get it, people get mad at you. But listen to me. Faith doesn't work because you maybe think it's going to work. It works because you know the will of God and you embrace it in your life. 2 John chapter 1, verse 8 says this. It says, "Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves so that you do not lose the things that you've worked for, that you might receive a full reward." Say "full reward." That's what we're talking about this morning, being highly motivated. And you know, when I first came to the Lord, the lifestyle that I had before the Lord was like most Christians, or not Christians, most people, is, you know, you party on the weekends, you get involved with whatever lust of the flesh it is, and there's a certain amount of high involved with that. But then the next day, there's no joy. The next day, there's an emptiness. When I came to the Lord, all of a sudden, I realized, wait a minute. The benefits of being saved is I can have the joy of the Lord without getting snarkered, without taking drugs. I can have the peace of God, come on, without being medicated. And I was very serious at that time. I said, okay, I want to enjoy these benefits of peace in the midst of the storm. I want to enjoy these benefits of joy in the situation I'm in. Because before, it was like, you know, do whatever you have, party, and then the next day you feel terrible. And it never lasted. But the blessing of the Lord is different. And I think a lot of Christians, because they've either been in a church that doesn't teach all the benefits, or they're in a church that doesn't give you the faith necessary to see those benefits happen in your life. You can't stay highly motivated without knowing the benefits of God. If you don't know the benefits of God, it will not work for you in your life. And you'll miss out on what God has for you. I'm going to give you some of those benefits this morning so that you can be blessed coming and going in your life. But I want you to grab hold of this truth right now. You got to insist, once you get saved, in these benefits. Don't just be casual people, say, "Lord, bless me if you want." No, insist on it. Believe for it. You know, one of the stories in the Bible that always fascinated me was when Israel came out of Egypt. They had been slaves for 430 years. They came out. And the Bible said that not one feeble one among them. And they spoiled the Egyptians, it says in the Psalms. Spoiled means they left Egypt rich. But what's interesting in the story is that after the Pharaoh had decided to let him go because of the plagues, Moses was instructed by God to tell the women to go to all the households and insist on about receiving the wealth from the Egyptians before they left. My question is, why didn't he ask the men? Because if you ever want to get a return and get your money back, you send the women. Because they insist upon it. Hey, I'm taking this back. You're going to give me my full thing back. Come on, we got to be like women and insist in the benefits of God. Come on, give God praise, everybody. Now, I'm going to share with you some of the benefits that should highly motivate you in your career, in raising your family, in your relationship with your wife. These are certain things that you're going to have in that relationship if you stay highly motivated. But you got to be motivated in the things that you do because you know they produce a certain result. One of the things that after I got saved, that I wanted to do was provide for my family. I said, Father, you know, I've got children, I've got a wife, and I want them to know that I love them and I want to provide for them. But I need your supernatural help. Some churches won't teach prosperity, but the Bible does teach it. And as soon as I found out that God would supernaturally bless the works of my hands, I was able to build a vision for my family and for my wife and for our future because I knew that. Let me give a couple of verses. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this. It says, notice how it says it. Remember the Lord your God who gives the power to give wealth. In other words, he's given us power to get wealth so that he might establish his covenant just as he swore to your fathers as it is this day. In other words, he's saying God's given you power to prosper because that's how he establishes his covenant. The kingdom of God is not going to be established with people who are broke. It's going to be established by people that have been blessed by God so that we can reach into the highways and the byways and we can bless people around. Can you say amen? He said, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, let me give you a New Testament. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, that we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor in order that through his poverty, we might become rich. And that whole chapter is talking about giving. And the context is Jesus went to the cross and had no clothes on him at all, completely naked. And they took his robe, which is very expensive, and they wouldn't divide it because it would wreck the value of it. Remember, they gambled for it? And Jesus was on that cross, broke. In fact, so broke that they had to borrow a tomb to put his body in. Because the Bible said that he became a curse in order that we might receive the blessings of Abraham. So the Bible is very clear, whether the Old Testament or New Testament, that God gives us blessings for one purpose, so that we can prosper in whatever we do in our life. And I'm not just talking financially, I'm talking about in your marriage. The Bible says you've received every spiritual blessing. You have an anointing within you that can cause you to prosper in every area in your life. And you get highly motivated when you realize, wait a minute, God can bless what I put my hand to do. In fact, I should have favor that goes beyond anyone else because I'm a Christian. Now, to give you an example of how this works, when I got saved, I remember the Lord had called Joyce and I to go to Rainbow Bible Training Center, so we sold our 6 acres in our home, and we financed that trip and went down there and invested all that. When we came back, we were at my dad's house, my mom's, and we had been there, I think, about a month, trying to get relocated and all that stuff. And, of course, we were broke because we were spending all our money. And I remember I'd been sending out applications to different ministries, and not one called me. Hey, I'm a Bible student. I've graduated. Everybody's going to want me. No one called. And I was down at the mall with my wife, and we were window shopping. He said, why would you window shop if you don't have any money to build a vision? You build a vision by window shopping. Amen? So I'm down there, and the Lord speaks to me in an audible voice and says, I got you a job. And I told my wife, I said, the Lord just told me that I've got a job. We get home, and my dad says, hey, your uncle called, and he wants to give you a job in construction. I go, Lord, give me a break. I didn't want construction. I wanted ministry. But notice what happens. He's prospering me. Amen? Now, I go on this construction job, and how many know there's a difference between working a non-union job and a union job? Union people, and there's nothing wrong with unions, but union people have certain regulations or whatever. And I'm working there, and it was right before lunch. And I was carrying some 2x12s on my shoulder from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard for whatever purpose. I don't remember what it was now. And it was just now becoming noon. And everybody stops working. But I had all this lumber. I didn't want to let go of the lumber. So I spent another 3 or 4 minutes carrying it to the other side of the yard. And I remember getting scolded by some of the union guys. Now, as soon as noon comes, you stop working. But the thing was, I was working for the Lord. I wasn't working for the union. I was working for the Lord. And the superintendent of the job, which is named Blackie, he looked out the window and saw me doing that. He said, who is that guy? And he marked me for blessings after that. I worked when everyone else was getting laid off. He put me on easy jobs during the wintertime. Can you say amen? I was marked because God said, whatever you put your hand to do, it'll prosper. That's what I'm talking about. It's going that extra mile, and God puts his favor on it, his blessing, and that brings the blessing to pass in your life in a great way. And so prosperity is a real thing, but what you got to remember about it is all about sowing. If you want to prosper in your marriage, you got to sow for your marriage. If you want to prosper financially, you got to sow in that area that you work in. It's all about sowing and reaping. There's a story that I heard years ago. It's a powerful story. It's about a miner who was going through the desert, and he was extremely thirsty. He had left the site that he was on, and he was trying to relocate, but he had run out of water. And he came upon an old mine. And it was abandoned, and there was an old shack there. And inside the shack, there was one of those old pumps that you go like that to pump. And so they had made a well, and they had the pump there. And there was a jar of water there. And the jar of water was for the purpose of priming the pump. Now, if he just drank the water, he'd be satisfied that day, but then the next day there'd be no water. But if he used it to prime the pump, then he would have water the next day and 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 the next day. Say amen. And then at the end of his stay, he had a choice. He could drink all the water or he could leave a pint of that water left so that the next person that came by would have something to prime the pump. Increase comes from priming the pump. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower. If you're not sowing, God has nothing to work with. You got to be sowing seed to get the increase in your life. And once you understand that in marriage, your marriage will get better and better and better. If your marriage is not where you want it to be, you got to start sowing seeds. Start sowing compliments. And guys, do this. Compliment your wife publicly as much as you can. You're around with your friends, you're out for lunch, whatever. Compliment your wife. Say, baby, man, you look hot tonight. Well, maybe don't say that, but you look beautiful tonight. And say, the sun doesn't rise until you get up. Hallelujah. And guys, and you say, well, I can't always do that. Well, you can text a love letter to your wife and put all those little, what do they call those little symbols? Emojis. As you can tell, I'm a great texter. Put the little emoji on there. Do something like that. And because I'll tell you what, that's how you make the relationship great. You don't make it great by saying, I told you I loved you 20 years ago when we got married. That should still be working today. No, you got to do it every day. You got to compliment, because women, you know, over time, they get concerned about their looks and their weight and all that stuff. Say, hey, baby, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're awesome. Praise God. I love you just the way you are. Your character is so great. You're a virtuous woman. Have I gone long enough on this, guys? Come on, ladies. Help me out here. I'm trying to help you. But it's about sowing seed. And it's the same with raising children. You got a rebellious child, then every time you see him, just lay your hands and say, you are a child with the mind of Christ. You have character. And start imparting to them life rather than say, you'll never turn out good. You're following the ways of your father. Come on, don't do that. Start speaking words of life to them, and that's how you prosper in those areas. You know, my daughter, when she was growing up, she became insecure about her looks. And she's a beautiful girl, but you know how girls get insecure sometimes. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to fix this. So every time I'd walk into a room and say, oh, princess, how you doing? Are you awake yet? Oh, you're beautiful. And at first she said, Dad, stop it, stop it, stop it. But after about 2 weeks, she loved it. I'm the apple of my father's eye, praise God. And she liked being complimented, and it drove out that insecurity in her life. It's all about sowing seed. Are you going to sow seed in your family? You're going to let the world raise it. Sow seed, and it'll prosper as you sow it, because God has given us blessings. And this is what highly motivates me. Whenever I learn certain truth in the Bible that gives certain results, I'm motivated to do it. Let me help some of you in a great area. Years ago, we were in the church, and there was a Holy Spirit revival in the church, and we had some Pharisees in the church that really hurt us because we were friends with these people. And we had a hot tub at that time at the house that we owned. And we would sit out there in the hot tub. We'd talk about what happened to us. And I remember after about 2 or 3 days of this, I said, I feel terrible inside. How about you? And Joe says, I feel terrible too. He says, this is the problem. We keep talking about everything that people have done wrong to us. And right then, the verse, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those that love it shall eat its fruit. So we decided we're not going to speak death anymore. We're going to speak life. We're going to speak life. And all of a sudden, the feelings change. The peace comes back. The joy. So you can do whatever you want to me. I'm just going to talk nice to you. I'm going to pronounce a blessing on you. I'm not going to talk about how you stuck the knife in my back and turned the blade. I'm going to bless you. Why? Because I'm highly motivated to be in a good spirit. I'm highly motivated to have joy. I'm highly motivated to be more than enough that God's called me to do. I'm highly motivated because there's great blessings that occur when you do that in your life. But you got to be disciplined and want to do that. Now, in the psalm that we looked at, there's a part of it I want to rehearse to you, and that's in verse 4. In verse 5, it says this. It says that he redeems us from destruction. Say redeemed. Redeemed. Now, that particular Hebrew word is where you get the word, oh, how do I say it? It's the word that has to do with a kingsman. And a kingsman is a male, older family member who takes the responsibility that when a other family member gets into trouble, they'll bail them out financially. Or they'll step in and protect them against dangers of this world. And that's exactly what Jesus is. He's a kingsman to us. He said, okay, my children, they're in debt. I'm going to pay for it. My children are in danger. I'm going to seal them with the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus does. And it says that he redeemed us. Hallelujah. He's our kingsman. And then the part that I really like is he goes on and he says he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, you know what crown means? It means to surround. God surrounds us with his loving kindness and surrounds us with his tender mercies. Not just mercies for what you need, but mercies even for things you don't need. He's a merciful God. He surrounds us of it. And then he says, he will satisfy our mouth with good things. The Hebrew word mouth is the trappings or the bridle on a horse. In other words, he's going to satisfy you from the words of your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Woo! Did you know that eagles, what they do is they'll go up into the mountains and it's called molting, and they will not eat anything, and the old feathers will fall off, and new feathers will grow. If you've ever been in the desert and where there's rattlesnakes, you'll find these rattlesnake skins everywhere. That's because as the snake grows, he sheds the old skin. Or I've got a saltwater tank in my house. One time I had a red lobster, and I kept thinking it died. So I'd look in the tank, and I'd see this skin. And it looked like it was the lobster, but he had shedded it as he got bigger and bigger and bigger until finally I grabbed him and ate him. I'm just kidding. We need to shed the old life, shed the old weakness, shed the old, come on, shed the old strength. Get some new strength in God. Woo! Well, that's what he's promising us. And it's that what highly motivates us in our lives. Here's what I've learned over the years. The rewards are great. They motivate me. But more than that, pleasing the Lord motivates me. I said this before, but I'll repeat it. Whenever I do something for my wife, it's never in secret. I want her to know I did it. I want to get full credit for it. Because when I do, she's pleased. I've pleased her. And that's part of the motivation, is that she's pleased with it. That's why publicly I told everybody I'm going to take her on another cruise, even though I don't want to go on a cruise, because I'm looking for a blessing. Say amen. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for you must believe that he is God and that he has rewarded those who diligently seek me. Hallelujah. In other words, when you live by faith, you please God when you get healed. You please God when you use your faith in your finances. You please God when you use your faith for your family. You please God when you use your faith to remove the mountains. You please God. Hallelujah. That motivates me. Woo. And it should motivate you. A lot of people, they get the idea that people just do things without motivation. That's not true. You take David. Now, David, when he was a young man, the prophet Samuel came by. And you remember, he wanted to anoint someone to be ruler over Israel. And his other brothers were there and said, well, this is none of them. David come. He's the smallest and the scrawniest. He says, it's him. And he anointed him. And after that event, he went out, killed a lion, killed a bear. And then, later on, he hears about this giant that is intimidating Israel. But what a lot of people don't realize, he didn't just take on the giant. He took on the giant because of the motivation. The motivation, the king said this, whoever does this, I'm going to make him filthy rich. Now, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And I'm going to give you one of my daughters to marry. And I'm going to make your family tax-free for the rest of your life. So David, once he understood the motivations or the things that he would get if he stretched his faith, put himself on the line, he went after this giant with a slingshot, not a slingshot, but a sling with 5 stones because Goliath had 4 brothers. Can you say amen? He goes out there and takes that sucker and runs at Goliath and throws that stone and hits him in the head. Now, many theologians are not sure if Goliath died there or afterwards. I think he died afterwards. I think he got cold-cocked by the stone, fell over. And David had said this, today I'm going to cut off your head. But he didn't have a sword. So he knocks him out with a rock, goes over, takes his sword, cuts off his head. Woo, sounds like a great movie. Say amen, praise God. Then he takes Goliath's head, picks it up, woo, and he's so motivated. You know what he does? He goes miles and miles back to Jerusalem, which was occupied by the Samaritans, and put the head up and says, I'm coming after you next. And years later, he went up through a shaft in Jerusalem and overtook the city, because when you're highly motivated, you set goals. When you're highly motivated, you set ambitions. When you're highly motivated, you set visions and dreams. When you're highly motivated. Woo, glory to God. Are you highly motivated? I'll tell you, if you're not, it's because you haven't been believing the promises. You believe the promises, you're going to want peace in the middle of the storm. You're going to want joy in those difficult situations. And God wants to bless you in a great way. Now, I want you to hear this next statement. A lot of people get this idea, well, I may not have everything in this life, but in the life to come, I'll have all these blessings. Did you know that that is absolutely not true? Every blessing we get in eternity is manifested in this life, or you don't get it in eternity. If you don't believe that, think of the parable of the stewards. It says that the Lord was there and he departed, but before he departed, he gave one 5 talents, one 3, one 1. And he came back, and those who doubled what they had been given, the Lord said, I'll put you in charge of 5 cities. I'll put you in charge of 10 cities. In other words, all the multiplication came from what they did right here. The Bible said, the judgment seat of Christ, your faith will be tested by fire, and if it survives the test, you'll receive a reward. But if it doesn't, in other words, faith gets no rewards. Amen. Our culture is so screwed up in this. Do you notice in our public schools, they don't challenge people to do better? Everybody gets the same grade. It's like soccer moms. They get a little team together, and everybody gets a trophy, whether you win or not. That's not Bible. The Bible, you get a trophy if you win. You don't get a trophy if you lose. Say amen. You don't get a trophy if you try. You get a trophy when you succeed. That's the motivation from Scripture. Run in such a way that you may win. Don't run in such a way that you'll just finish, but that you'll win in life. And I believe that this proper motivation will in fact motivate you in a way that'll bring tremendous blessings in your life. Motivated people are the first to get promoted. Motivated people are the first to get extra blessings. Motivated people are the ones that find more opportunities and more doors are open. And when you come to Christ, you have the greatest motivation of all to seek the blessings of God from your salvation. Now, let me just say something. The best way to be motivated is through love, not fear, love. If you really want to get motivated, it's going to have to be through love, the love of God in your life. 1 John 4:18 and 19 says this. It says, perfect love casts out fear. Those who fear have not been made perfect in love. We love him because we first or because he first loved us. The more you get a revelation of God's love, the more motivated you're going to be in your life. And it'll last. If you're motivated by fear, it won't work. Fear is short-term. Now, people often say, well, motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we tell you to do it every day. Motivation will last when you keep studying on the love of God. You keep studying on how much God loved you. He loved you before you did anything. He loved you before you excelled. He loved you before you were worth anything. He loved you in that state. When you begin to feed on that, it becomes the strongest motivation in your life to keep going in your life. Hallelujah. You know, he loved you when you were drinking. He loved you when you were taking drugs. He loved you when you were fornicating. He loved you when you were absent from church. He loves you all the time. And when you get a revelation of that, you're going to get motivated to respond in the right way to him. Amen. Repentance is a direct result of God loving you. You didn't deserve a break, but he gave you a break. And out of respect and honor, you do that. I think sometimes we mess up in this because we get confused about the fear of the Lord. And we think there's an aspect of fear in our faith that makes us stronger, whatever. And some of it is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. It says there that we should obey, not when people are watching, but also when they're not watching. It says this. He says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But that's an idiom, which simply means this. It means that when you obey God, many times you have to run through your fears to overcome it. I remember the first time that Joyce and I tithed. I had to run through the fear of not having enough for the end of the month. I remember the first time I apologized to someone who I knew would continue to take advantage of me even though I apologized to him. It was a fear. And I talk to the young people about girls, and I said, where's the girls, guys? Well, listen, you got to go up and you got to ask them out. You got to take a chance. Well, what if they say no? Well, what if they say yes? I mean, you just got to stay at it. I mean, when you go fishing, you don't get a fish all the time when you're fishing. But you got to have on the hook, you got to have a job on the hook, number one. You got to have a future on the hook, number two. You got to have sweetness on the hook, number three. You got to have a vision for them, number four. Come on, just keep fishing. And eventually someone will bite. See, the problem is guys are waiting for the women to snag them. That's completely backwards. The man is supposed to be the one that snags them. You ride up in your white stallion, jump on there, woman. Here we go. There we go. The world's got everything backwards. That's why people are not getting married. They're not doing it right. Hallelujah. So run through your fear. When you run away from your fear, you're a chicken. But when you run through your fear, you got faith. I'm breaking through this barrier. I don't care if I'm rejected. I don't care what I'm breaking through this. That's what God wants you to do. And everyone that loved Jesus said amen. Say it with me. I run to my fears, not away from my fears. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. You know, in racing, they have such a thing as called pole position. And pole position is a position, the best position when you start a race. And it's on the inside lane right in the very front. And it's determined by every car that races. They allow them to go around the track four times. And the fastest time gets pole position. And then every time that person gets, if you get the slowest time, you'll be way in the back of the pack. So when the race starts, you can still win, but you got to go through all this traffic, get around all these cars to get up in the front. So everybody wants pole position. Everyone wants to qualify the highest speed for four laps. The pole position is being highly motivated. When you are highly motivated, you're in pole position. You're in the best place to win. You're in the best place to succeed. You're in the best place to get your breakthrough. You're in the best place. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you got to be highly motivated.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the River, and we're doing life together.